Well, good morning. Who brought a Bible to church? If you brought your Bibles, why don't you open with me to the book of Jeremiah after that bucket passes you by? Don't drop it. That's an anointed bucket. If you brought your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 1. It's always a privilege to preach God's word to you, and I want to thank you as my church family for allowing me the privilege of preaching God's word. It's a great blessing of my life. And this morning's an extra special, it's an extra special blessing is apparently what I was going to say. An extra special blessing because it's Name the Year Sunday. And what's Name the Year Sunday? This is something I've been doing since 2017. Where I set aside one of the first Sundays of the year, close to the beginning of the year, to speak a word that I believe the Lord has placed on my heart for us as a church family, that this will not just be a sermon. Here's my prayer every year, is that this would not just be another message, but that this would be a word that would carry us through. You know, sometimes you just hear a word that carries you through and that gives you a supernatural strength. I believe that as we do this, as I set aside time to prepare my heart to speak on Name the Year Sunday, that the Lord is going to use this word to carry us through. And so Name the Year Sunday for you is today, but for me this begins in the fall, because I set aside time in the fall to begin to pray over the next year and just say, Lord, what is it that you would have me to bring in terms of focus, in terms of preaching and clarity that I can bring to the church family? And this year I did something a little bit different. I've spent, you know, taken some retreats where I've gone away for a couple days. What I did this year, the first week in November, is I moved my office down here into the worship center. And so I was not up in my office. I had no meetings. I had no appointments. And I was fasting and praying in this room all week long. I took no phone calls. I answered no emails. I just had my Bible for reading, my iPad for taking notes, and good coffee for drinking. Somebody say amen. You can fast from food, but still take good coffee. I think it's in the word somewhere that says that the anointing plus good caffeine equals the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's in 3 Timothy somewhere. And it's in Hebrews. That's right, Pastor Kevin. So I was praying about a few things that week. I was praying for the church. I was praying over you. I was praying for vision for the future. And one of the main things that I was praying for was a word for 2023. And did you know that God is faithful? Did you know that? I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise that God is faithful. But did you know that when Jesus says that he who asks shall receive, and he who seeks will find, and he who knocks, the door will be opened to him. Did you know that he means that? Do you know that the Lord, when he says, those who seek me will find me when they seek me with all their heart? Do you know that he means that? God is faithful. And I want to just start by encouraging you today. God is faithful. If you seek him, you will find him. If you have a desire to hear from the Lord, you can seek his face and he'll speak to you. And so the Lord spoke to me. And we'd all have to admit it'd be pretty awkward if he didn't. This is going to be a mysterious year. The Lord didn't say nothing. So, you know, I guess hope for the best and plan for the worst. Have a great day, right? that'd be pretty awkward. But thank God he's always faithful. And I've been holding on to this word for 2 months, and I'm excited. You excited with me? So I've been looking forward to this day. And then Wednesday, we're in prayer meeting, and God often changes my plans when I pray. And so he changed my plans for this morning. And what the instructions he gave me was this: before I share the word that the Lord put on my heart, that I need to address what it means to name the year. That before I tell you the word for the year, I want to talk to you about the theology of naming the year. Because some of you, here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want you to come here and hear pastor preach and then leave this place thinking, wow, isn't that amazing that the pastor can hear from God? I want you to leave this place with a newfound excitement that you can hear from God. So before I tell you the word, I'm going to spend 99% of my time this morning telling you how to get a word. Because there might be some of you who are really just stuck here thinking theologically, is this even biblical? Can we name our year? I mean, is just this something that we do in North American Western Christianity where we name the year and we put a word on it and we try and, you know, brand it and theme it and all of that? Or is this actually biblical? Is this something that we can do? Can I name my year? Can I receive a word from the Lord over my life? Some of you are thinking, well, pastor, of course pastor can hear a word from the Lord. He's the pastor. Listen to me. When the Lord speaks to me, did you know that he doesn't speak to me because I'm a pastor? You might call me pastor, but that's because I'm your pastor. But do you know I'm not his pastor? I'm his son. So the Lord speaks to me because I'm his son. Are there any sons and daughters in the room today? The Lord speaks to me because I belong to Jesus. And if you belong to him, then you can hear his voice too. You can hear his voice and you can name your year. And so here we are, Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to teach you this morning how to get a word from God. Jeremiah chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 4. Before we do, let me say this. Jeremiah was not the most loved preacher. He was known as the weeping prophet. Why? Because Jeremiah went around telling people the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? People don't often want to hear the truth. Truth doesn't often grow a crowd, sometimes it thins a crowd. Whenever Jesus saw the crowds getting too big, he would make sure to give them a bigger dose of truth so that some people would leave. Well, there's too many people here. We better thin the crowd. Because they must not be getting a glimpse of the truth, because the truth will often hurt. You ready? So people don't want to face the truth. People would rather stick their heads in the sand, but not in this house. I said not in this house. We don't stick our heads in the sand. We stick our heads in the word. Here we are. Jeremiah 1:4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. So let's stop there for now. Who is Jeremiah? Jeremiah was a PK. He was a pastor's kid. He was a priest's kid, which that's not allowed nowadays, but that's a sermon for another day. Some of you will get that later. His father, Hilkiah, was a priest. Jeremiah was not a priest, and yet the Lord spoke to him. The first thing that you need to believe this morning is that the word of the Lord can come to you. Jeremiah 1:4, now the word of the Lord came to me. Did you know that the Lord can speak to you? Now the word of the Lord came to me. See, Jesus says this in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. They will hear my voice and they will follow me. And if you are born again, you can hear the voice of God. Did you know that? Some people get all freaked out, all spooked out. Oh, I don't like it when people say that they heard from God. I get nervous when somebody says that they heard from God. I heard a preacher say this years ago, and I rather like it. He said, I get nervous if a Christian says they can't hear from God. If you're a child of God, you can hear his voice. He speaks to you. And God speaks to Jeremiah. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God speaks to Jeremiah and he says, I am the author of your life. I'm the one who formed you. I'm the one who put you in your mother's womb. You are not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not the result of mere physical intimacy and procreation. I put you here. I planned for you. Did you know that God planned for you to be here right now? If that doesn't excite you, your exciter button is broken. And that's okay because the healer's in the house and he can help you. Come on, the Lord picked you. He chose you to be here right now. This is the time in history that you are supposed to be here. because God has a plan for your life. God appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, and God has appointed you to something. Now, I don't know what that is. That's between you and the Lord. You have to seek His face. That's where you need to hear His voice. I don't know what He's appointed you to do, but He's appointed you to do something for His purposes. Now, let me give you some generalities. If you're married, let me tell you this. He's appointed you to be a loving, faithful, sacrificial husband or wife to your spouse. You don't need a word from the Lord. Okay? If you're married, then you're appointed to love and serve and honor your spouse. If you're a parent, you are appointed to lead and disciple and discipline your child, to raise them in the ways of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Notice Jeremiah's response, verse 6. Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." The original Hebrew is a lot stronger here. It says this, "I cannot speak." Lord, you've got the wrong guy. You ever said that before? You've got the wrong gal. I can't see that thing that you've asked me to do. Here's the thing. I don't know if you know this, but I can't do it. I can't do that. I'm only a youth. The word youth here can be boy, youth, young man. Here's my personal favorite, lad. Can't you hear just Jeremiah saying it? I'm just a wee little lad. You didn't know Jeremiah was Scottish, did you? Ah, Lord, I'm just a wee little lad. Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, "Do not say, I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say." Remember this. "Do not say, I am only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." See, there's always a disconnect between how we see ourselves and how God sees us. There's always a disconnect between what God sees when He looks at us and what we see when we look in the mirror. And God tells Jeremiah, "I've consecrated and appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah says, "Oh, but I am just a wee little lad. I can't do that. You're asking me to do something that I can't do." And God says this, "Don't say that. Don't say that." Why? Because your words have power. Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You will eat the fruit that you speak. What you speak will produce results in your life, and then you will eat the fruit of what you speak. So stop saying things that aren't true and start saying God's word. Stop saying whatever comes in between your precious ears. "Well, I just say it like I see it, Pastor Tim." Okay, well, here's the word of the Lord for you today. You ready? Stop it! Don't say that. I want this loving rebuke from the Lord to Jeremiah to be spoken over our lives today. In whatever area of your life that you are speaking things that are not in agreement with God's word, don't say that. Jesus' half-brother James said that your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It's small, but with a little wiggle, it determines the course of your life. The words that you speak out of your mouth with your lips determine the course of your life. Your words matter. Your words matter. "Well, you know, Pastor Tim, I just don't know how we're going to make this through the year ahead." Don't say that. "Well, I'm just too broke, and I don't have enough money, and I don't have enough talent, and I don't have enough resources or enough personality or enough." Don't say that. Do not say, "I am only a youth," the Lord says. Verse 8, let's keep reading. He says this, "Do not be afraid of them." Don't be afraid of the people. "For I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. And then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Here's the biblical principle here. Stop saying your words and start saying God's words. "I have put my words in your mouth." He did this for Jeremiah, and He does this for us. Here we have the word of God. "I have put my words in your mouth, and you will go and speak them." And once you have a word from God, once you hear from God, I'm telling you, one word from God will change your life. One word from God. You know, the first Sunday that my wife and I worshiped here in August of 2009, we got a word. This is your church. changed my life. I didn't know I'd end up pastoring here. I didn't know, but I had a word. One word from God changes everything. It's the Romans 4:17 principle that God calls those things that be not as though they were. He calls things the way that they aren't. Well, I just say it like I see it. Well, that's not how God works. God looked at darkness and said, light, be, and there was light. God changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham meaning the father of many nations. So every time Abraham would go around as an elderly man with no children, people would say, and who are you? Oh, I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. He had to say that. This isn't New Age spiritualism. This is how faith works. This isn't rubbing a spiritual genie lamp, okay? People think, you're just talking about using your words. It's like rubbing a genie, and you're just hoping that what you say, that if you just say it enough, and if you have faith in what you say, then it'll come to pass. No, this isn't about making a list of all the things that you want, and if I just say it as many times as I can, then it eventually will come to pass. No, this isn't rubbing a genie lamp. This is called building your life on the rock of Jesus Christ. It's called building your life on the rock of God's word. That God's word is my foundation, so I put God's word in my mouth, and I believe that when I declare God's word will come to pass. Let's keep reading the story. Verse 11 of Jeremiah 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Now, if you're reading in your Bibles, this is a good reason why I want you to bring your own Bibles. There should be a footnote in your Bible. Do you have a footnote in your Bible? Beside the word almond? Okay, so always look at the footnotes. You look at the footnote, and in my Bible it says almond sounds like the Hebrew for watching. Compare to verse 12. Watching. So I've seen an almond tree. Sounds like a watching tree. What does that mean? Let's read verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. He gives Jeremiah a picture of an almond tree. And if you can picture an almond tree, you can picture the branches growing and hanging over the almonds with the seed inside, the same way that an almond branch hangs over an almond seed. I, the Lord, watch over, I hang over my word to perform it. I am hovering over my word to perform it. The word of God is often referred to as a seed. Remember Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word? First or second Peter, is it, where it says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Just as almond branches hang over almond seeds, God watches over his seed to perform it, his word to perform it. How is the word planted? Through speaking. We plant the word of God by speaking his word. Most people assume that when they read a verse like, I'm watching over my word to perform it. Most people think, well, God's just going to do what God's going to do. God's watching over his word to perform it. So I can go eat Doritos and watch Netflix. And God's just going to do what God's going to do. Most people read the verse like that. God's doing all the spiritual stuff. And I can just do my thing over here, and God's going to watch over his word to perform it. So it's not like I can get in God's way. It's not like there's anything that I can add or take away from in terms of God's will being done. Now, the context of this promise was that Jeremiah was called to speak God's word. Speak God's word. He says, I put my words in your mouth, and I'm going to watch over my word that's in your mouth to make sure that I will do the word of God once it's in your mouth. God watches over his word to perform it by watching your words. Did you know that Jesus says that we will give an account? Ooh, this is harsh. Can you take this? Can I say this? It's early in the year. It's early in the morning. Can we take this? Do you know that Jesus says that you will give an account for every idle word you speak? If you want a little healthy dose of reverential fear of the Lord, just meditate on that for a little bit. How many idle words have I spoken? Just useless, doubtful words. Oh, I just say it like I see it. Let me illustrate how this works. Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross for the sins of the world, correct? Correct? Everybody with me? Now, through Jesus' death on the cross, before anything else happened, although all provision had been made for the sins of the world to be forgiven, do you know how many people were saved? None. What does it take to be saved? I have to believe in my heart, and I have to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Nobody reaps the benefits of the cross until you put God's word in your heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Nobody gets saved until they use their words. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak. We believe first. You get the faith from God's word into your heart, and then you speak by faith. You declare. What are we doing when we're naming the year? We are getting a word from God and declaring the word of God over this year ahead, over this season of life. This isn't wishful thinking, it's faithful thinking. This isn't the power of positive words, it's the power of God's word. So can we name our year? How can we name our year? Where would we begin? First place you begin is in the word of God. You don't start by making a list of all the things that you want. Well, you know, wow, a pastor just told me about this way that I can just speak things and they'll just happen. And so boy, have I got a list for you. I got all kinds of things that I want to happen, and I'm just going to start speaking them. No, you start in the Word. This isn't Christmas, and Jesus ain't Santa. He ain't watching your list and checking it twice. You start by being a student of the Word of God. If you want to experience answered prayers and victory and breakthrough and healing in your family, say, where do I start, Pastor Tim? Sign me up. Where do I start? You start in the Word of God. I don't even believe that you start with prayer. Now, you might disagree with me, and we can fight things out theologically after service in the back. But I don't even think that you pray first. I believe that you go to the Word first. Because there's the Word is the way that we discern what we hear in prayer. And there's a lot of believers who are endeavoring to do a lot of praying and they want to hear the voice of God. But if we're not in the Word, you have no means by which to discern whether you've heard from God. The Word is the standard, the way that we know that we've heard from God. I've told this story before, but it suits the occasion. I remember a lady telling me, this was, 10 or 11 years ago, that she believed the Lord had revealed to her the person, the man that she was supposed to have married. Pulled me aside and said, the Lord had revealed to me that the man that I was supposed to have married. And you say, well, what's wrong with that, Pastor? The problem was she was already married to somebody else. So right away, I mean, I don't need to pray about this. I don't need to, well, let me just pray and see if I can get a confirming word from the Lord for you. Immediately I know that this is not a word from God. Well, why? Because it doesn't feel right? Because you don't like it? No, because of the word. Malachi 2:16 says this, for I hate divorce. God hates divorce. Mark 10:9, speaking specifically about marriage and divorce, Jesus says this, whatever therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, this is not an exhaustive sermon on divorce, and there are reasons why a man and a woman might be divorced, but that's a message for another day. My point is that we can be certain, I know that that woman did not hear from God. Because God, that would mean that God planted the initial thought in her mind that she should leave her husband. And God's not into breaking up marriages, he's into restoring them. God's not into bringing divorce, he's into bringing healing and restoration. And so I say this, if you want to hear from the Lord, the first thing you got to do is read the Word. Why is the Word so important? Pastor, why do you always talk about reading the Word? Why is it so important? If you don't know the Word of God, you won't recognize His voice. You won't hear His voice. You might get goosebumps when you pray. You might get feel something in a church service or at a conference and go, wow, I really think that I'm supposed to do this. You know, I've just got peace. Well, peace is good, but peace is supposed to confirm the Word. You don't just say, well, I just really have peace. You know, I just, Pastor, I just really have peace about abandoning my family. I really have peace about going into debt. I just feel really good about it. I feel great. Okay, well, what does the Word say? You start in the Word. You make yourself a student of the Word. And then secondly, you seek His face. How do you do that? Praying, fasting, meditating on the Word. You ask God to speak to you. I read this at the beginning. Everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Not it might be opened, not sometimes it gets opened, not well, you never know what God's going to do, and sometimes He might just leave you hanging. How many of you have heard that preached before? Well, you know, you just never know what God's going to do. He's this mysterious, unknowable person. Can I introduce you to the God that I know? He's not that mysterious. He's revealed Himself through His Word. You want to know what God's going to do? Read the Bible. Well, I just don't know if it's God's will to heal me. Well, read the Bible. What did God do to sick people? Say, you know, I'm really trying to teach you something. If you would just hang in for a little bit longer, I really want you to experience some suffering so that I can grow you. The Bible doesn't say that. Bad preachers say that. What does the Word say? Jesus healed all the sick. Every sick person He healed. You say, Pastor Tim, that's a you can't say things like that. Yes, I can. That's what the Word says. Call me simple-minded, but here's my theology in a nutshell. Can I give you my theology in a nutshell? I endeavor, I don't always get it right. I endeavor to believe the Bible. That's my theological statement. I try. I miss it. I don't fully understand it all the time. I'm a human being. I'm a fallen person who's been saved by the blood of Jesus. But I endeavor to believe God's Word. That's my theology. And I don't make excuses for it. People try and make things complicated. Well, you never know. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Oh, doesn't the Scripture say that His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts? And how about this one? Who knows the mind of the Lord? You heard people quote that before? Who can know the mind of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 2. Look it up later and go read it. You know what it says? Who can know the mind of the Lord? You know what the next word is? But we have the mind of Christ. Who can know the mind of the Lord? You know what Paul says? We do. I can know God's will. Not because I'm so brilliant and because I've got a degree, but because I have access to the Spirit of God who lives inside of me, and I can pray, and I can read, and I can seek His face, and I can have the mind of Christ. Stop trying to make excuses and make God to be more mysterious than He is. God wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to give you a word that you can believe for the year ahead. I actually believe if you seek, you'll find. And if you knock, the door will be opened. I actually believe that. And God will speak to you and He'll give you a word to declare over you and over your family and over the season of life that you're in. Now listen to me, when you're looking for a word, if you're praying for a word for 2023, if you're praying for a word that you need for your life, don't get your word from your circumstances. Get your word from the Lord. But God knows your family. God knows your circumstances. And maybe there is some rebellion in your children. I mean, no one in the room, but if you're listening online or if you go to another church, right? We don't have those problems here. But maybe there's some family stuff. So maybe the Lord wants to give you this word for your year, peace, reconciliation, forgiveness, healing, salvation, joy. Maybe you're spiritually struggling. You're weak. Spiritually, you're not seeking the Lord's face. If you would be honest, you'd say, Pastor, I'm not in the Word. I'm not praying. I'm not seeking the Lord. I go to church, but outside of that, there's not really a whole lot of Jesus in my week. Maybe this year is going to be a year where your word needs to be something about spiritual strength and maturity, and growing up and falling in love with Jesus. Ooh, there's a good word for 2023. What do you need? Maybe you've been stuck feeling overwhelmed with negative thoughts, thinking that you have no purpose, that the best days of your life are behind you. Maybe this is a year that God wants you to dream new dreams. Oh, hallelujah, I feel the presence of the Lord. Maybe this is a year for you to dream new dreams. I'm here today to encourage you, don't be content to live life looking in hindsight, looking at all the days that have gone before you, but begin to believe that you can speak by faith, by the word, as you study the word, as you seek God's face, you can get a word and you can declare that word and believe that God will watch over his word in your mouth to perform it. The world's already talking about the year ahead. I don't know if you read the news. If you do, I'm sorry for your loss. Oh, if you want a real quick route to get sad, read the news, right? They're already talking about 2023. Economists and politicians and financial experts are already talking. And all the words they're preaching and proclaiming are not incredibly encouraging words. But thank God I don't build my life on the news. I build my life on the word. I don't build my life on what the experts say. Whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the word of the Lord. How about you? I'm going to believe this is going to be a good year. I'm going to believe that this is going to be a year filled with promises received, prayers answered, sicknesses healed, families restored. I'm believing that this is going to be a good one. This is going to be a keeper. So when I look at 2023, I'm not saying what the news is saying. I'm saying what the word says. And I'm going to see an almond branch. The Lord says, you've seen well. I'm watching over my word to perform it. Now, before I give you the word that the Lord put on my heart for the year, I don't want to leave this moment. Someone's getting a word right now. Come on, pick up. It could be the Lord. Put it on speaker. When I was in seminary, the rule in one class was if your phone rings, the professor must answer it. You had to bring your phone up and the professor answered the phone. I won't do that. I'll pray about it. We'll see. I really felt the Lord tell me that don't just go and preach a sermon and give them the word, but encourage them to get a word. You can hear God's voice. You don't need to, you know what? I really hope that you can't wait to come back to hear me again next Sunday. But really, I really hope that you have a little bit more faith that you can hear from the Lord than just, I need Pastor Tim. He's going to give me a word. And I just need that word. It'll carry me through the next 6 days. No, you can hear from the Lord every day. So on the way out today, we're not done yet. But when you leave, we're going to hand out a little brown piece of paper. And I know you have your own paper and you don't need us to give it to you. But I wanted to give you it's just a blank piece of paper. And I wanted that to serve as a reminder to you. And you can use that you can seek the Lord and get a word for this year. And just believe that the Lord's going to speak to you. Because I'm going to speak a word over us as a church family. And you can take that word, but you can have another. You could have 37 words that the Lord's given you for this year. And you stand on the word of God and get your scriptures out and declare, this is what God's going to do in my life this year. And so you're going to get one of those on the way out. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. But as I sought the Lord, as I spent time in the Word, as I spent time fasting and praying, what He spoke to my heart was that 2023 was going to be a year of unparalleled praise. Unparalleled praise. That the people of Niagara Worship Center are going to enter into a new dimension of praise that is unlike anything we have ever experienced before. The word unparalleled means this, having no equal nor match, unique in kind and quality, exceptional. Exceptional. Here's some synonyms for unparalleled. Incomparable, matchless, unrivaled, unsurpassable. I believe that there is a season in this year for us where we are going to praise Jesus like never before. You say, Pastor Tim, I wanted to hear a word about what the Lord was going to do for me. Too bad. Too bad. I give what I get. I give what I get. That's what preaching works. The Lord, I endeavor to hear from the Lord, and then I give what I get. And the Lord gave a word, not about what he's going to do for you, but what you're going to do for him. And I believe the most humble place you can be is by seeking the Lord and making a decision right now. Here's what you can do today. You can make a decision that this year you're going to praise Jesus like never before. It doesn't matter how many blessings you get. Doesn't matter how many answered prayers you get. Doesn't matter how many breakthroughs you get. No matter how much this year is filled with blessings or great challenges, and let me suggest to you, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, you're going to have a little bit of both. Blessings and challenges every year. Every year. But you can make a decision today to say, I'm going to praise Jesus like never before. No matter what comes this year, I'm going to praise Jesus. And I'm not just going to praise. I'm not just talking about when we gather. This isn't a word for the church when we're in church. This is a word for the church when you're the church. And you're the church everywhere that you go. So you're going to praise Jesus, and I'm going to praise Jesus like never before. The word praise means this, to glorify, to express approval and great value. Oh, I'm going to glorify and express the approval and great value of Jesus this year. How about you? Everywhere that I'm going, I'm going to tell people how great God is. So today, as your pastor, I declare over you and over us and over these walls and over everyone who worships here that 2023 is going to be a year of unparalleled praise, where we praise Jesus like we've never praised him before. And no matter what this year holds in terms of details or potential challenges, we're going to be a house of praise. We're going to be a house of praise. We're going to be a house of praise. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Come on, let's stand and praise him. Lord Jesus, Lord, fill this place with praise. Lord, I pray that just as you reached out your hands and you touched Jeremiah's mouth, I believe that, Lord, beginning today, you are doing a work spiritually of touching our mouths. And Lord, I pray as David prayed that we would set a watch over our mouths, that we may not sin against you with our words. But Lord, our mouths would be filled with praise. I pray that you would anoint every pair of lips in this room. Anoint them. Anoint them. Lord, as they read your word, I believe your word will bubble up from inside their heart and come out of their mouths. Lord, that there will be praise such that leads to great witness, to great witnessing of who you are and all that you are doing. And Lord, we just welcome you by your Spirit to empower us to praise you. Lord, we refuse to respond like Jeremiah. We will learn from his mistakes. And we will not say, oh, but I can't do that. Oh, but I can't sing, or I can't declare, and I can't worship. No, that's a lie. By the Spirit of God, we can sing, and we can praise, and we can worship. So Lord, we put your words in our mouth today. And we believe, Father, that this year, we are going to praise you like never before. And I thank you, Father, that as we lift you high, your glory will fall. Your glory will fall. Lord, I bless each person in this room today, and I thank you for your love for them. Move in their midst, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.